Well, hello, good morning. Thank you guys so much for taking a break from preparing your hurricane preparedness kits and coming to church this weekend. We're glad that you guys are here. My name is Josh Surratt. I'm here with my awesome wife, Lisa.
Hey, I'm Lisa. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, we're doing a parenting series. We're finishing that up today, and we figured we probably ought to hear from a mom. If we're gonna, they bring a little bit to the parenting equation.
They bring a lot to the table.
So, but if you're watching online or joining us at one of our campuses, we're so glad that you guys are here as well. And we talk about a hurricane. Most of our locations are in an area that is currently potentially in the path of a hurricane. I saw earlier today 175 mile an hour winds with Dorian, and so there's a lot of craziness going on with that. But what we want to do is let you know, one, we are monitoring that. We are talking with city officials and state officials and kind of trying to make wise decisions for our church on that. And so right now, if our town evacuates, we will probably follow suit and shut down the church. But at this point, everything that we have scheduled this week, we're planning on continuing to move forward, because we believe that this thing's gonna go right back out to sea, right?
Yes.
Let's just agree with that. Jesus spoke to the storm and it stopped, so we're just believing for some of that. But we're also preparing as well. We've got partners, some that are actually here right now, that are helping come alongside. So if it does make landfall and where it makes landfall, we will be at the ready to help. And so we set up a website, seacoast.org/storm. And if you wanna pay attention to that, if you wanna volunteer and help people out or just know what's going on, we'll of course use all of the social media outlets as well, but we'll keep you guys posted there at seacoast.org/storm. Why don't we pray before we jump into the message and just pray for all who might be impacted. God, I thank you. I thank you that you are the God over storms. And Lord, we just pray that this storm would go out to sea. God, we pray for your sovereignty. We pray for your powerful and strong hand to turn this storm out. We pray for anybody that would be in its path, whether that's in the Bahamas right now or here or otherwise, that you would just provide a hedge of protection, safety in the midst of the storm. I thank you, Lord, that regardless of what kind of storm we face, we learn out of your word that we can have peace in the midst of storms. And so we just pray for a sense of peace. We pray as believers here that we wouldn't get wrapped up into the anxiety and fear, but that we would have wise choices, move forward in wisdom, and that you would allow us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this storm and whatever impact that it might have. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're finishing our series called Parenting Hacks, and it's been fun. 4 weeks we've looked at parenting, and we were talking, Lisa and I, praying together, what do we want to talk about? How do we want to finish the series? And there's one topic that is very much at play in our own parenting. I know it's at play in a lot of ours that we haven't heard anybody talk about in a church setting. We've never heard a sermon. We actually looked up to see if any of the preachers that we admire have preached on this, because we wanted to maybe steal some of their content and bring it to you, and unfortunately they didn't. And it's this idea of technology. Does anybody else deal with tension in your home related to technology with your kids? Okay, lots of us deal with this. And so, if you have kids in the home, we hope this will be a super practical message for you. If you have husbands in the home that struggle with this, or wives, maybe there's some stuff we can learn there as well. But we deal with the tension of technology.
You know, when I was growing up, advanced technology looked something like this.
Who had one of these growing up? Come on, the bag phone.
Listen, I remember the day my dad brought that thing home, and I was like, we've arrived. Like, there is nothing better. This is like a purse with a phone in it. Like, it's just mind-blowing. So,
but then technology advanced.
That's right.
And we came onto the scene of this. Anybody have the Motorola flip phone?
You felt cool just pulling that antenna out, didn't you? Like, yes.
So now, like, the cell phone comes to play, and then, like, the professional world got on board. Anybody have one of these? Who remembers the BlackBerry, right? Y'all were all, I thought you were so productive getting your work done with that BlackBerry, and thought you were better than the rest of us who didn't have it. I think I had a Palm Trio or something. I thought I was the man. All those companies are out of business now. And so, of course, 2007 comes onto the scene, the iPhone. And this was a real game changer when it comes to technology, especially as it relates to phones.
That's right. If you have kids in your house right now, chances are your kids don't remember life before an iPhone, right? Nowadays, we can order groceries, we can pay bills, we can watch a movie, play games. We can talk to a friend in real time and see their face all the way in Africa. This changed the game, right? And you know, as parents, it really changed the game for us too. There are so many different and new uncharted territories that our parents never had to face. Tony Renke wrote an article, and it says, compared to previous generations, iGen teens are statistically less likely to go to parties, to drink alcohol, smoke tobacco, or experiment with sex. Now you think,
praise God.
That's great, right? But gosh, we are parenting in a whole different new era where, you know, some of the things that they struggle with are hidden in plain sight because we don't always see what they're struggling with.
That's right. So as we do with any message, we begin the preparation process by looking into God's word. What does the Bible say about this? So I did a search with some of the tools that I have, scriptures on technology and parenting, and guess what? There's none. Absolutely none. There are scriptures that we're going to talk about today that'll help us make wise choices, but the reality is that there's not a lot of black and white on this topic. So you've got questions like, at what age should I allow my kid to have a phone? Or at what age should they go into social media? Or should they play Fortnite or Minecraft, you know? Or how much screen time is too much screen time? These are all gray areas. And so as we share some out of God's word, but some out of our experiences and what we're learning from many of you, I just want you to know, number one, this is a no judgment zone. So what works for our family may not work exactly the same way for yours. And so let's not judge other parents who make decisions at different times than we do. But we do need help in this area. We do need to learn and figure out what's gonna work. We have a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And so that just tells you where we are on this parenting journey. Some of you are further ahead of us. You're dealing with issues that we aren't yet dealing with. Some of you guys may be a little behind us, and we've dealt with some things that we can help you with. But we're gonna kind of take the collective wisdom of God and of this group to kind of help us. Our goal is this, it's very simply this, that you would leave here today feeling empowered, feeling more confident in your parenting as it relates to technology. Because let's be honest, technology can kind of cause us to lose our confidence. Like stuff changes, things move. And so we want you to leave here feeling empowered and full of wisdom. The passage that came to mind is Proverbs 24 and verse 3. It says, it takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong.
You know, technology was created to be a solution in our lives. But if we aren't careful, it can become a thief. Right? How many of you would say, gosh, I spend a little too much time on my phone, right? It robs us of our attention spans. How many times do we touch our phone or we get distracted with our phones? But more importantly, it can rob us of time, precious time with our kids. It can rob our children's purity and their innocence. It can cause challenges in your marriage or honestly, I think it just can rob us from the kinds of relationships that I think that God intended us to have. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You know, our goal is that we use technology for the amazing solutions, but that we keep our eyes wide open. We stay alert to see the ways that it can rob us.
That's right. So if you have an outline sheet, you may want to pull it out. We've got seven kind of guidelines. Honestly, we could have had 20. There's so much we would love to say about this, but we don't have time for in a weekend service. We'll tell you about some opportunities that we're going to do coming up. But our goal is to help you win with technology. We're going to win with technology. And so the first thought for us is, number one, I will determine the times and the places for technology. I will determine the times and places. If you're a child here filling out an outline sheet, I want you to cross out the I and say, my parents will determine the times and places for technology. Preach it.
You know, when I was a kid, my parents determined the time and the place in which I could use technology, which back then looked something like this. Some of you kids have no clue what this thing is. But it took you like 5 minutes to make a phone call, and Lord have mercy if you actually missed the wrong number, you had to like hang up and start all over again, right? And of course, mine was attached to the wall, and it had this big, long, probably, I don't know, 10, 15 foot cord that would get all tangled up, right? And so the phone would ring, and I'd have these boys calling, and some I wanted to call them to call, and some I didn't. But I would, I remember trying to have a private conversation, and I would stretch the cord all the way around the kitchen wall, and I would sit on the floor and talk like this, right? And, you know, sometimes, now, we don't have this kind of technology with the iPhone, but we had this little button here, right? So my brother could go over on the other line, and he could slowly lift his finger off so that you don't hear the click, right? But sometimes I'd hear the click, and I'd be like, Sean, get off the phone. I'm on the phone. Don't be listening to my conversation. And then other times, Mom would get on, and she'd say, honey, it's time for dinner. You need to get off the phone, you know. And so one time, she had gotten on the phone to tell me that, and she had said something else before, probably responding to my conversation. And I realized that the boy on the other phone, he really wasn't a boy I wanted to talk to. He just would call all the time. And so he was on the other line, and I realized he didn't recognize my mom's voice over my voice because we sound so similar. And I was like, oh, I think this could work for my favor. And so I'd have, like, this boy call, and I'd look at my mom, and I'd be, like, rolling my eyes, like, please rescue me. And so she would go and get on the other line, and she'd barely let the thing off, and she'd get on and join our conversation, and she'd start talking, and soon I'd be like, this is a good time. I'm just gonna, okay, good. Can go back to watching my show.
I have so many questions right now. Scrolling back, what did I say to her mom that I thought I said to her?
I never did that to you, babe.
Oh, gosh. But the reality is that cord was like a limiter, right? You couldn't go have private conversations in your phone. And of course, then you got wireless phones and all that. Just because the technology changes doesn't mean the principal has to, though, right? That we ought to take control of that for our kids. We control when and where they deal with technology and what kinds of technology they're gonna have. These days, the generation that's coming up, they view technology as a right, not a privilege. But it is a privilege to use the phone. It's a privilege to play a video game. It's a privilege to have technology. And so as parents, our job, when they're little, we wanna keep that funnel pretty small, and they will gain freedoms as they grow, but it's our job to determine when and where they use technology. And for us, like one example for us in our home, our oldest has a phone now. That phone doesn't go into his room. He's not allowed to use the phone in his room. Well, that seems a little old school, Josh. Well, you know what he can access on that phone? And it's not that I don't trust him at all. It's that I know that we live in a day and age where all of the knowledge, collective knowledge of the world, both good and bad, is right here on this phone, accessible. And so we gotta choose wisely how we're gonna use it. And so we don't bring it in the phone. The phone's in their room. They charge in our room at night. And so what it does is it drives them out of their room and into the family area. So we have a lot more family time together. And so we determine those things. And here's what you'll hear. Well, you're invading my privacy, Mom. You're invading my privacy, Dad. Let me encourage you, parents. You need to give your kids privacy. Let them use the bathroom by themselves, especially if they're 16 years old. They ought to be able to do that, okay? Let them change clothes. Let them take showers. This is not an issue of privacy. This is an issue of protection. It is our job as parents to protect our children. And so we did give our son a phone. We have full access to that. We use parental controls. We'll talk about some of that in a minute. But we've told him if you ever delete anything off of this, you lose the privilege to have it. And he knows that we have full access to it. We can get on it, we can look through the text threads, we look through all that, and I don't do that in secret. I tell them about it. Hey, Miles, that was an interesting text thread you had with your classmates, and it leads to conversations. Again, tone is important. Don't accuse them, but don't ever confuse this for privacy. In fact, I would just encourage you, marriage couples, this is the 11 o'clock service, you can get a little bit extra. I don't have privacy on my phone for my wife. She has my passwords, I want her to see it, I want her to see the text, I want her to see the websites that I'm looking at, because that's great accountability, right? And so this is not an issue of privacy, it's an issue of protection. We as parents, we have to do that. We have to protect our kids from from the dangers of technology. And so here's how it works in our home, just to get real practical with you. We wanna determine what are gonna be some technological free zones in our home, times of the day that we're not gonna use it. And we use Deuteronomy 6 as our guide for that. And I wanna encourage a lot of you, one of the best things you could do leaving here is to take this Deuteronomy 6 challenge. Look what it says, Deuteronomy 6. It says, these commandments that I have given you today, hang on a second. Let's back up because there's one more thing I wanna share with you that's super important. When it comes to privacy versus protection, I wanna talk about social media for a second, then we'll get into this verse. Please be careful with that. I love social media. I love how we leverage it. Please be careful with it. I wanna read a stat to you that's not a biblical stat. It's not a church person. It's an American Medical Association stat for you, okay? It says, in surveying 3,826 high school students in Canada over 4 years, researchers found that each hour of screen time, whether it be spent on social media, watching television, or generally just on the internet, increases the severity of depressive symptoms like loneliness, sadness, or hopelessness in teens. Did you hear that? Each hour that they are on technology increases the chance that we are bringing into our home an increased likelihood for depression, for anxiety. And think about it. When I was growing up, we were talking about this earlier, if I missed a party or I didn't get invited to an event, I'd find out about it the next day, maybe a few days later. Enough time that I was, these days kids are seeing this in real time. They're seeing what their friends are doing. They're seeing the highlight reels of it. All of the stuff that we had to deal with related to self-esteem and peer pressure, it's on steroids when you put them on social media. And so experts would say, and we would plead with you, when should you allow your kid to have social media? Delay it as long as you can. Delay it as long as you can and recognize what we're bringing into our homes. It's a new era. There's not a ton of research, but the research that we have is saying this isn't all good for our kids. And so when do we allow it? Let's jump back to that Deuteronomy verse. Here's what it says. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your kids. In other words, it's our job, not just to fight technology, but it's not so that we can take something away, but it's because our job as parents is to disciple our kids, to teach them what we're learning about God, to teach them how to grow as a disciple of Christ. And so that's the commandment. And it says, talk about them in four different times. When you sit at home, for us, that's pretty much dinner time. It's about the only time we're all sitting together. When you walk along the road, we occasionally take walks, but we don't walk along the road a lot. Usually we drive. And so that's another time when you're in the car going from one place to the next. When you lie down at night, so bedtime, and when you get up in the morning. These are four areas of our day that we have determined they are gonna be tech-free zones. We're not gonna be on screens, we're not gonna be on phones, we're not gonna have the TV on. These are tech-free zones. And since we've done this, it's created some really cool moments that we've had with our kids. One quick example for me. I drive the kids to school most mornings now, and I love it. All of our kids go and come from school at the same time, praise the Lord. One carpool run. But we don't have technology. And so I put my phone away. They don't have technology in the car on the way to school. And here's the deal. I'm a better driver, first of all, because of that. You're welcome. It's not always good for us to have those things out, right? But we're having some great conversations. Like, I've started doing this deal. Every day is a little devotional with our kids. I don't prepare for it. It's not taking a ton of time. I'm praying, all right, God, what could I impress upon my kids? And for me, because I'm cheesy and I'm a preacher, it has to start with the same letter of the day. So we had worship Wednesday this week. We had talk life Thursday. What that meant is they were all talking death to each other. And I thought, you know, I need to think about something we'll do. We'll do talk life Thursday. And simply, I got in the car and I said, hey, you know what? The Bible says that we have the power of life and death in the tongue, that we have the ability to be life-giving or life-taking with the words that we say. And so we talked about today is gonna be a day we're gonna focus on giving life. With every word that we say, it's gonna give life and not take life. And so they came away with practical ideas. They were all gonna go to their teachers and say, hey, I wanna thank you. I love you as a teacher. I'm learning a lot under you. Just speaking life with their tongue.
You know, and the other two are dinner and bedtime. And dinner is just it's a great opportunity to just put your phones away, to take the time. And it's probably something that you all do. We just do the highs and lows of the day. But it's an opportunity to sit face to face with your kids and hear about their day, give them an opportunity to open up. And, at 4 o'clock when we come home every day, I always, you know, want to ask them, how was your day? And you know, what happened at school or what happened with your friends or whatever? And do they want to talk at 4 o'clock? No. What's their answer? How was your day? Fine. Good. Anything happen? No. Cool. When do they want to talk? When it's time to go to bed, right? It's like, no. We were going to do this at 4 o'clock, don't you remember? And now it's time to go to bed and you have to say all the things. But you know, I used to get frustrated by that. And now I've just decided we're going to build in a little extra time. Because that time, for some reason, is the time that they do want to open up and talk. It's the time that I've probably had more heart-to-heart conversations with my kids than really any other time. So take the time to just spend with your kids. Look for those opportunities that you get those little windows into their heart. The second point is, I will stay fluent in current technology. I will stay fluent in current technology. Here's the deal. Most of us as parents, we are digital immigrants raising digital natives. Did you get that? I don't know how many of you have a 6-year-old or 5-year-old that can work your phone faster, smarter, and do things with it that you didn't know how to do. I have one of those. Or maybe you have a teen who they're sending you text messages and you are wondering what kind of Morse code they're sending you. Take a look at these texts. We thought these were funny. I'll be the mom.
Okay. I'll be the kid.
All right. Your great aunt just passed away, LOL.
Why is that funny?
It's not funny, David. What do you mean?
Mom, LOL means laughing out loud.
Oh my goodness. I sent that to everyone. I thought it meant lots of love. I have to call everyone back. Oh God. Here's the next one. What does IDK, LY, and TTYL mean?
I don't know. Love you. Talk to you later.
Okay, I'll ask your sister. There's a poop emoji, in case you didn't know.
Oh, geez.
Little chocolate kiss with eyes watching over you.
LOL, it's a poop with eyes, Mom.
Oh, I thought it was a chocolate kiss, LOL.
Haha, it definitely has a poop. It's a poop, Mommy. Mama Bear.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Next one. Don't forget to unload the dishwasher. Did you finish your homework? We have to go to your grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Dad and I talked, we are going to go buy you a car next month.
You are? OMG, thank you.
No, we're not. I was just wanting to make sure that you got my text. How many of you are going to put that one in your pocket for later, right?
I'm using that one.
And then the last one.
You left your phone at home.
Brilliant.
Some of y'all are going to get that at lunch and be like, oh, that's funny. But isn't it true, though, like, we can feel like idiots sometimes when it comes to technology. The language is changing. What they're doing changes. And so I would just tell you, it's not a sin to get old, but it's a sin to become a dinosaur and to stop learning. And as parents, this is their world. They're learning, they're growing, they're learning these languages. We have to take on the mindset of a learner. You don't have to know the latest Snapchat filter. That's not what I'm talking about. But you've got to be willing to learn to become fluent in their language, in technology. Most of us would say if this were a test, if technology was a foreign language, we feel a little behind on that. And so all we want to do here is we want to resource you a little bit. There's a verse in 1 Chronicles, verse 12, 34, says, from Issachar, so talking about the sons of Issachar, this group of people, it says they were men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And I just want to encourage you, that's our job as parents. We got to understand the times. We got to know the world. And by the way, this encyclopedia that you used to go to when you needed information, we ain't living in those times anymore, right? It's a new era. It's a new age. And so use Google. Every parent ought to Google every now and then, what are the most popular apps for a blank? Fill in the age of your kid, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old. Ought to be Googling, what are the most dangerous apps for teenagers or for tweens that I should be paying attention to, just so that you can stay fluent and know how to protect the kids from the things that they're going through. So stay fluent, and we've got some resources that we wanted to kind of share with you guys.
That's right. You know, I'm going to go back for just a second. We have to understand the times that we live in. It is not like we, you know, the times that we grew up. I had the opportunity to work for A21, which is a nonprofit organization that fights human trafficking, and You know, so many stories started innocently on the internet and somebody luring them in. And so we have, as parents, it is our job to keep our eyes wide open. The enemy, this feels dramatic, but this is the truth. The enemy is strategizing against your family. Is strategizing against your kids. And so I want to encourage you that we have to strategize back against the enemy. We have to keep our eyes wide open and not let our kids get into to things that they shouldn't. You know, just because a one-year-old learns how to walk, you don't allow them to go walk out into the parking lot or, you know, chase a ball into a street. Why? Because they don't know what they don't know. They don't know that running into the street after a ball, they might get hit by a car. Your kids navigating technology without any guidance is just like that. There are people that are out there that are paying attention and want to talk to your kids. And so approach is everything. Talk to your kids and make sure that you are having some of these conversations. There are a lot of resources that can be helpful for you. There is something called Kids Media. Kids Media is an app. There's also a similar one called Bark. And this is just an app that allows you to review apps, review movies, TV shows, games, all different things that you can actually get on there, read about before you allow your kid to download them. There's also great resources at the Apple Store. Any Apple Store or even on apple.com, you know, they have tutorials on how to use parental controls. Josh and I went and sat, and they literally took all of our devices and walked us through how to set parental controls up so that we could help pay attention to what our kids were looking at. And then also the Circle. The Circle is a Wi-Fi device that you hook to your Wi-Fi, your wireless router, and it helps you manage time that your kids have Wi-Fi. So you can actually shut off Wi-Fi access to individual devices. And so this is another way that you can kind of help manage.
I love that Circle. How many know if you shut off their Wi-Fi, they'll show up to dinner when you call them, right? It's like, what happened?
Mom, the internet's not working.
And so some great resources. Another one's called Daddy Saturday. There's a guy in our church named Justin Batt, great guy, wrote this book. And the idea is for dads, a lot of times, we're on technology, if we put it down, well, what do I do with my kids? How can I create some memories? And he would say that he was a guy who was physically present, but emotionally absent, and absent in a lot of other ways in the lives of his kids. And so he put together this book. We have it in our bookstore. You can get it on Amazon if you're at a campus as well. And it's incredible. And it just talks about how to take advantage of these moments that you have and make memories with your kids, raise kids that'll be incredible adults. And he's got an Alexa app on it as well, or an Alexa function. And so you can just say, hey, Alexa, what's the Daddy Saturday activity today? And it'll know your weather, it'll know where you're at, and it'll give you some ideas for ways you can make memories with the kids. Remember, the goal is not just that we become the technology police in the lives of our kids. The goal is that we create memories, create conversations. There's a lot of trouble out there, as you all know, as it relates to pornography and other things that can get our kids. We don't have time to get into that today, and it's a subject that needs its own space and time. So here's what we're doing. We're putting together a night for any parent who's interested in talking about that, the impacts of that on your children. By the way, so a lot of research is saying between the ages of 7 and 9 is when first exposure is happening to kids these days. And so let's take our heads out of the sand. Let's talk about this. But we're going to have a night bringing in several experts who are experts on this topic, bringing in our youth pastor, John Holm, and others. And we're going to do kind of a town hall on the effects of pornography on our kids and some other subjects like that. If you want to be a part of it here or at the campuses, here's what I need you to do. Take out your phone. Let's use it for good right now. Text digital to 320-320. And if you will do that, we will keep you looped in when we have that event. We don't have all the details nailed down yet, but when we have that event, and we will invite you so that you don't miss out on an opportunity for that. So digital to 320-320. By the way, there's some great apps for your kids. The Bible app for kids is one that we helped to put together, and it's incredible for ages 2 to maybe 5, 6 years old. So please grab that. And then Right Now Media is another app, and I think I've got this thing potentially up on the screen. Let's see if it's working yet or not. It should be up there. And so if it's not, Right Now Media is an app that we use as a church for resources. So you've got small group curriculum. We're launching a four-week small group series in a couple weeks. It'll all be on Right Now Media. But look at this, popular studies for men, women, youth, marriage, parenting. And if you scroll, there's limitless resources that can help you as a parent and the issues that you're dealing with. I love this one, Kevin Lehman. Have a new kid by Friday. Anybody want a new kid by Friday? I mean, you know, there you go. Get the book. But just good resources. Let's utilize, somebody's trying to pick, I'm gonna put it back up there for you. Someone's taking a picture and I'm gonna put it back up so that you have it. Let's share that again. But utilize these resources. We gotta be fluent in technology. Let's jump to the third point.
I will look for opportunities to enter their digital world.
Yeah. I will look for opportunities to enter their digital world. Again, let's not just be the police here. Let's find ways to engage with them in their language and the place that they're at. I was speaking at a conference earlier this year in Texas, and a huge church, great leader. He's got three boys who are all in their 20s now. And so I was like, hey, I got to spend some time with you, and I got to ask you some questions. And Miles, our son, loved to play Fortnite. Apparently, Fortnite's on the outs now. Minecraft is in. Free tip for you guys. Minecraft's making a comeback. But at the time, Fortnite was this big deal, and I was like, dude, can you give me some advice on how to handle Fortnite with my son? And I expected him to tell me about limits and ages and all this stuff, and the advice he gave me actually shocked me. He said, the best advice I can give you about Fortnite, play it with him. Play it with him. I was like, are you kidding me? He said, no, I promise you, some of the best conversations that I have with my boys, even now in their 20s, is when we get together, we put on our headphones, and we play Fortnite. I'm like, dude, you are a leader of tens of thousands of people. You're a leader in this community. You're telling me to play Fortnite. But the idea was engage with your kids. Find ways to enter into their digital world. And so I came home. I was like, Miles, I'm gonna learn how to play Fortnite with you. And so I got on, and I played with him. And him and his friends killed me almost immediately every time we did it. But just looking for opportunities to connect. For a while, he loved Pokemon Go. So we would do Pokemon Go drives, and that sounds really silly, but you know what it is it's quality time, spending time with my son, doing things that he loves.
And it's the same with the girls. You know, I went and sat on the couch with my two girls and just wanted to spend time with them, sat on the couch, and they're watching YouTube videos on how to refurbish squishies. So I'm an expert squishy refurbisher now. It's riveting. But you know, it really doesn't matter. You know, what kind of silly things that they're into. The point is, let's take time to engage in what they're interested in. When we engage in what they have an interest in, it means the world to them, and it opens up their hearts to be able to talk to you more and more about the things that are really important in life. So
That's great. So number four, we're gonna hustle through a couple of these. I will do what's best rather than what is fair. And here's what I would say about that. I would just say, don't set an age limit or an age when they're gonna get a phone. It's one of the biggest mistakes you can make is, hey, when you become a 12-year-old or 13-year-old, you're gonna get a phone. Why do I say that? You can't read the future. You don't know if they're gonna be ready at 12 or 13. And just because one kid is ready at 12 or 13 doesn't mean the other one is. And so fairness, of course, it's not fair. You know what? We need to make our decisions through the filter of what is best for my child, not what is fair. Because guess what? Their friends are gonna get access to stuff sooner or later or whatever, and it's not gonna be fair. That's okay. Our job is to parent them, not to be fair. So
That's right. Leave
it at that.
And number five is, I will model the way. You know, the reason that so many of our kids are addicted to technology is because we are, right? We are the leaders, and we have to recognize that they're watching our actions more than they're listening to our words. You know, there's this quote that says, the typical cell phone user touches his or her phone 2,600 times a day, according to study research. But that's just the average user. The extreme cell phone users touch their phones 5,400 times a day.
Wow, that's crazy. Some of y'all are above average. We gotta get that under control. That's a little painful, right? But the reality is, we set the pace, right? When we learn to have self-control with our own technology, we're gonna have a lot more influence in teaching our kids to have self-control with their technology. So when we talk about that Deuteronomy 6, tech-free zones, let's apply that to ourselves too. A lot of times our kids are sitting at the table watching us look at our phones, and it's like, hey, you know, why wouldn't I? And so we gotta model the way. Number six, I will remember that I am the parent. I will remember that I am the parent. You know, parenting is not for the faint of heart, is it? It's hard. It's challenging. Things change. Technology changes. Our kids change. Seasons change. And I say that as a word of encouragement to you. God has called you to parent your children. There is no one better equipped or suited on planet Earth to be your kid's mom than you or your kid's dad than you. So own that. No, God has called you to be the parent. Step into that. Don't give up when it gets hard. I love Galatians 6:9. It's one of my life verses. It says, do not grow weary. Let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. God has called you to be the parent. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in your life as you navigate parenting challenges. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You are the parent. You can do this, and God is going to help.
That's right. And number 7, I will not try to navigate the challenges of parenting in isolation. You know, so many times we think that whatever challenge that we are dealing with, whether it be in our parenting or in our marriages or in a relationship, so many times the enemy just wants us to live in isolation because then we can get in our heads about it and make it so big and we think, gosh, I'm ashamed, I don't want to talk about it. No one else is dealing with these problems. That is not true. Chances are you're not the first one to be dealing with this challenge and you're probably not going to be the last. And so surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded, who are running after God, who want to parent their kids in a godly way, they may have solutions. They may have already walked through what you're walking through and offer you solutions that you never thought of.
Yeah.
And so don't parent in isolation.
Yeah, and it's Connect Weekend here and at every campus. And I just want to encourage you, make that choice now. Think about the video that we all saw together earlier. He made a decision to get into a small group, and it helped him through a crisis of faith. And there have been so many times where we've had crisis of marriage, crisis of parenting, crisis of faith that we've had friends in our life to go, hey, let me help you through it. Some of our friends are just there to go, hey, at least we're not screwed up as bad as they are. So praise God. You'll find that in small groups. We all go through seasons, but especially as it relates to parenting. The other day I was talking to my son, Miles. We have a rule of no technology during the week at our home. And he was making an appeal. He was saying, Dad, I believe that rule was good for me in fourth grade, but I don't think it's so good for me in sixth grade. And he was talking about some of his friends that are bringing their phones to school and doing some of that stuff and using it during the week. And his friends that he talked about, all of their dads were pastors here at Seacoast. And so my first thought was, man, I need to fire their behinds and get him some new friends. It's ridiculous. Obviously joking with that. But what I did do is I pulled them together and said, hey, help me out here because maybe I am making a mistake here. And that's the thing is technology changes, our kids change, and seasons change. And so we can lose our confidence as parents. And so I was like, I want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And so help me understand, how are you approaching this? And how are you approaching this? And when you really get a tight community, it's like, let's approach this with the same front. You know, we got to come in here and all approach it similar so that we're raising our kids in similar ways. But it's going to be so helpful. It's helpful for me. It's going to be so, so helpful for you. Do not parent in isolation. You know, as we close this message and even this series, we've taken 4 weeks. We're talking about parenting, and I just want to remind you, it is such a privilege. God's greatest gifts that he gives to us are our kids. That may not feel that way in your circumstance right now, in your season, but don't forget, God has given you a great responsibility and a great privilege of raising up these young warriors that are going to be warriors for Christ in our culture and our society. And I want to remind you of something that Dad said way back in the first week of this series. You know, you are called to this. You can do it. You can get better. That's what today was really about. I want us to help us get better when it comes to technology. But the most important aspect is God is going to help us. God is going to help us. Week 2, we talked about the God factor, right? That even when we make mistakes, even when we get off course, even when if you took a family photo of us right now, it may not look real good. You may have kids that are running, that are in a tough place right now. The story is not over for you. God is going to help you, and we're going to together raise kids who make a huge difference on this earth. I believe in the next generation. I believe they're going to go further, they're going to go faster, they're going to go stronger than our generation ever did. what a privilege we have to set them up for success. So here's what we want to do. If you are here today and you have children, they're in your home, maybe they're not, but you have children that you're trying to lead or grandchildren that you're trying to lead, here's what I want you to do. I want all of us to stand up. And I just want us to close with a prayer of blessing over you, it's mom, dad, at the campuses as well. Just stand up. And we're gonna pray over our kids, and we're gonna believe that the best is yet to come, and that this will be a generation that will do so much more than the ones before, especially as it relates to their faith. Because think about the technology. Man, there's never been a time on planet Earth where the gospel can spread to every end of the earth than there is right now. And we get the opportunity to steward that. Would you pray for us?
Absolutely.
Pray for
our kids? Father God, I just thank you so much for every family that is represented here, God. Lord, you know all the challenges that they walked into this room carrying, God. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just cancel any plans of the enemy to distract their families, to allow anything just hidden in plain sight, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes, Father, that you would keep us alert to where the enemy wants us to get off track, Father. And I just pray, God, that you would give wisdom. Your word says, Lord, that if any of us lack wisdom, that if we just ask, that you will give it to us freely. And so, Father, I just pray, God, that you would impart wisdom, wisdom upon wisdom every day, God, for each of these parents and grandparents, how to navigate just technology and parenting, God. Lord, we just give our kids to you, Lord. They are such a gift from you, Father. We are so thankful for them, God. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit upon them, God. Rise up a generation, Father, that will run hard and fast after you, God, changing the world, Lord. We just love you, God, and all the honor and glory go to you. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.